This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, what's going on, everybody? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast and another Fast Track Friday here on the podcast. This is where I look back on this week's episodes and see if there's any emerging trends or ideas that I want to expand upon and give you more strategies and thoughts about. And this week on the podcast, we kind of started out talking about how classical musicians can learn jazz. And if you're paying attention to that one, you notice that I really focused a lot on this idea of learning jazz melodies and jazz language and how, like, really all jazz musicians or any musician should be doing that for jazz. And last episode, we talked a bit about jazz solos, right? Practicing them at original tempo. And is it worth doing that? Like, how much should we focus on getting things perfect, essentially, is what we talked about. And it kind of begged the question for me a little bit, kind of bringing those two episodes together, like, what is the purpose of learning jazz solos by ear? And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today. What's the purpose of learning jazz solos by ear? Why would you want to invest time doing that? And why would that be worth your time? Why are we talking about this outside of that? Well, it's because if you've been in the jazz education realm for any period of time, you will have heard not just from me, but from practically everybody else that learning jazz solos or parts of solos or music by ear is a great idea for jazz improvisation. And that's all well and good, right? You hear that. Everybody says that. I'm not telling you anything new, probably. If I am telling you something you haven't heard before, I'm really glad I'm the first one to tell you this, but I'm not going to be the first one to tell you this. So why would everybody suggest doing this, right? We'll talk about that, but also let's talk about the problem. The problem is when you start doing this, and if you really are doing this for the first time or aren't very experienced with learning music by ear, solos by ear, you realize that this can be a tedious process where you could spend hours of your time just to get 12 bars of music, right? And for some people who are just starting out, like, maybe even less than that. Because the more you do it, the better you get at learning stuff by ear and you get faster. That's really just how it works. A little, you know, spoiler alert there. But it can be a tedious process, and maybe the thought has entered your head before, like, is this worth my time? Is this worth my time of doing this, right? So let's talk a little bit about the purpose of learning jazz solos by ear. So the reason number one to learn jazz solos by ear is it strengthens your ear, okay? It strengthens your ear, and it strengthens your ear in the way that we really want to strengthen it for jazz specifically, right? We've talked before in this podcast how, like, ear training fundamentals is a great, like, workout for your ears. It's certainly a good thing to do. I'm talking about, like, interval ear training and stuff like that. It's great. But when you learn music by ear, like a solo by ear, what you're doing is you're exercising your ear in an applicable way to jazz, which is you're hearing information and you're translating it onto your instrument. In other words, you're building that ear to muscle memory, ear to instrument connection, which is the most important thing that you can do as an improviser, right? So forgetting about all the other reasons to learn jazz solos, the basic thing that you are doing is you are training that connection between your ear and your instrument when you learn stuff by ear. And that's why, by the way, the more you do this, all of my inner circle members who have started from zero on this and then started doing this for months and months at a time will tell you the same thing. It gets easier. It gets faster as you go along. And the reason it gets easier and faster is because you're building your ear to instrument connection, which is the cool thing. It just shows you that it works, right? That is actually happening, right? The second reason to learn jazz solos by ear is you're learning the language of jazz, right? So really when people say the language of jazz or they compare jazz as a language, it's almost not even like a comparison or like it is like a language. It is actually a language, right? It's kind of the same way you would learn a language. And so if I want to say really anything, right, to someone, like I mean, as I'm talking to you right now, right, all I'm doing is I'm improvising right now. I have a little outline of what I'm going to say, but that's about it, right? I'm improvising everything else. And the only reason I'm able to do that is because at some point I heard someone say something very basic like, hi, or how are you, or go get me this, right? And then, you know, like you don't remember any of it, but when you were a little kid, that's how you started learning a language. Or if you're someone who's learned a secondary language, you probably understand this process a little bit better the way I'm explaining it. That's what that is. When you're learning a solo by ear, you're basically learning a sentence that someone said over top of a chord or chord progression. And so it's not necessarily that you've now downloaded that and you will like magically spawn it in one of your solos. You know, maybe, hopefully, you might get something like that. But really what you're doing is you're teaching yourself the language of jazz. And you have to be able to speak the language of jazz, you have to have been able to hear it first, right? You have to have been able to hear it first. You have to have someone tell you something that you could possibly say in a musical scenario for you to say it. And so you're literally learning the language of jazz. And over and above that, you're learning the nuances of how different people spoke the language of jazz. Like if you learn a Wynton Kelly solo, you know, great. It's going to be a little different than a Joe Pass solo or a little bit different from a Sonny Stitt solo, right? Because the way that they approach the language is a little bit different. So you're working on that. Okay, the third thing that you're working on is rhythm and time feel. So a lot of people ask, and we've had this question come up on the podcast as well, is, you know, how do I improve my rhythm and time feel? Or, hey, I keep getting lost while I'm soloing, and I think it's because my rhythm and time feel isn't very good. Well, one way you can improve your rhythm and time feel, right, forgetting about like exercises with metronomes and stuff like that, is to be able to play along and mimic the rhythm and time feel of a great jazz musician. Which is what happens when you're learning a solo by ear, because the goal is always this. You're learning it, memorizing it as you're going, and then you're able to play it back with the recording, right? That's the goal, whether it's at original tempo or not. That's the goal. And so when you're doing that, you are essentially feeling that musician's time feel and sense of rhythm over top of the song, over top of the time that's going on behind it. So you're literally mimicking that. So not only are you mimicking the language that they're playing, the actual notes, you're mimicking the phrasing, you're mimicking the rhythm, you're mimicking the rests that they're playing, the things that they aren't playing, rather. So you're getting deep inside of that right there. So if you're tracking with me so far, right, just by doing one thing, you're improving your ear to instrument connection, you're learning the language of jazz, you're improving your time and rhythm feel, right? All of that just from doing that. Now, what happens as well here, like these are all like immediate things that you're developing by learning a jazz solo or a melody or what have you by ear. But what happens over time is you learn more and more music by ear and you start to see things pop out at you, right? So just because you learned a solo doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to access that information when you're improvising, right? We all know that. We've all experienced that before, right? Where you've learned a lick and you're like, I just can't get the licks that I've learned to come out in my solos, right? Well, that's because it's not yours yet. Like you didn't really, you're accessing something from somebody else and not from yourself. But what happens is as you keep doing this, you start to recognize certain patterns that emerge. You know, it could be the way Sonny Rollins approaches five chords, right? Could be an altered idea. For me, like, I call these musical aha moments, where it may not be the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, maybe it's the 10th time, but the 10th time something comes up, whether it's the way you feel the pattern on your instrument or the way you hear it, or just recognizing that a lot of jazz musicians do the same sorts of things, right? Or maybe you took the time to analyze the solo that you're working on. Then you start to see these things and they pop out at you, and then you're like, oh, cool, I get it now. And so then all of a sudden you just leveled up a little bit, right? And so you start to accumulate this understanding of the language. And it's not always a fast process. Like, I admit that to you. It's not always a fast process. In fact, it pretty much never is a fast process. You don't really become a great jazz improviser overnight. It's kind of just the consistency of doing this stuff that you get better. And by the way, it's the same thing with learning jazz songs, learning jazz standards. What happens is, like, the first tune you ever learn, you've no clue what a 2-5-1 chord progression is, but by the 10th song or the 15th song, you can hear what a 2-5-1 chord progression is, right? So now you're not even having to look at a piece of sheet music anymore. It's just like, hey, that's the 2-5-1. And of course, by then you've learned what a 2-5-1 actually is, in case you didn't know what it was. And suddenly learning jazz songs and hearing chords is just way easier. So learning by ear is so important to jazz for all these reasons that I just mentioned. So I really want to talk a lot about this today and want to reinforce this to you, because I know that everyone can relate to that feeling of, like, hey, am I practicing the right stuff? Hey, I'm spending a lot of time working on one thing. Is this a good use of my time? Is this worth it? Does this actually work? And I'm here to tell you that it does work for all of those reasons. These are beneficial exercises. Am I saying it's the only thing you should do? No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it is a good use of your time. It's a good investment of your time, even when it does feel a little tedious, right? So hopefully that this helps encourage you a little bit, especially if you're finding this process a little bit difficult right now. And yeah, remember to have fun with it. Remember to just treat, you know, learning music like this by ear as a fun experiment of seeing where you can go. And I'm one of those people where, you know, if I work on something and there's only one benefit to it, I mean, I'll do it, right? If that benefit is great enough, but usually it doesn't get me that excited. But when I see that I can do one thing, one piece of hard effort, and it pays off in multiple different areas, that's what gets me out of bed and excited to do it. So anyways, that's what I want to just tell you today. And hopefully that resonates and spurs you to action. All right, that's all for today's episode, all for this Fast Track Friday, and all for this week of the podcast. Actually, all for this month, and we'll be starting a new month coming up soon. So as I always ask at the end of the week, you know, hey, if you've been finding value from this podcast, been enjoying it, learning a lot from it, then if you do me a favor, just go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, and leave a 5-star rating or review. Just helps others who, you know, are coming across the podcast see that this is a valuable podcast worth listening to. And I really do appreciate it. It really helps the podcast out. And of course, as always, share with a friend. If you know someone that would benefit from the show, feel free to email them an episode or just share with them the name of the podcast. And, you know, it always helps when you know, you share good things with other people. They take notice of that. That's what I've noticed anyways. So thanks so much in advance for that. Of course, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't want you to miss out on anyone coming out. Until next time, happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.